Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 32, How to Leverage Impact Investing in Your Practice. Today, we're going to be interviewing Sonia Dreisler, founder of Solutions with Sonia. She helps financial services firms grow, reach, increase revenues, and deepen relationships through impact investing. Now, I've said that word twice now, so Sonia, you got to help us out here. How do you define impact investing?
Sure. Well, impact investing drives social and environmental progress through investments while screening for risk and creating competitive returns. There's a lot of lingo in the greater financial field, but also inside of the impact investing field. And so if I could just talk about a few quick things.
Yes. Our job here is to educate our audience. So educate us too while you're at it.
Okay, great. So impact investing includes three sort of basic components. And the first is the investing part, and that's investing in companies that will financially benefit because of their positive business policies and procedures in areas of what we'll often refer to as ESG, so environmental, social and human impact, and governance, which is corporate governance. So that's the E, S, and the G. So that's often referred to as ESG integration. And that's one of the research factors. The second bit is divesting, and that's divesting from companies that carry considerable risk due to unsustainable business models or industry. Traditionally, and continuing today, some clients also prefer to divest from companies that are not in line with their personal values. Mm-hmm. The most common one right now is fossil fuel divesting. And then the third piece is lending capital to specific underserved communities. That piece is often called community investing. It's also sometimes called impact investing. And so I can get into a little bit of the terminology because we throw around a lot of different words for what impact investing is. And then there's these three pieces. And then all of those techniques are often paired with something called shareholder engagement, which can also be called advocacy or shareholder activism. And shareholder engagement uses proxy voting and or discussions with corporate management to encourage corporations to make more sustainable environmental, social, and governmental decisions in their business practices that will hopefully drive a better return and also reduce risk.
Okay.
So those are that's the big picture definition. And there's a lot of terms that fall under impact investing. I have them all listed on my website. I don't want to take a lot of time here, but you might hear interchangeably impact investing, SRI, which stands for socially responsible investing, or sustainable, responsible, and impact investing. ESG, which I talked about before, mm-hmm. sustainable investing, green investing, values-based investing, or mission-driven investing.
Okay.
Those are all sort of synonyms or subsets of impact investing, which is probably more than we have time for here today.
You're hurting the branding guy's brain right now.
Yeah, I know.
Even though I love acronyms, that's just too many terms.
Well,
somebody's going to take launch and be the most successful, and that'll become the new terminology, mm-hmm. which happens in all industries. I'm looking forward to that day.
Yeah.
For your benefit, Sonia.
Really. That's why I use impact investing, because it's a word that people can relate to and understand, both advisors and clients.
As a branding guy, I would say impact investing is the most, I'm going to say impactful.
That's fantastic. See, that's perfect. How powerful that word is, isn't it?
Really strong.
Yeah.
Just leave everything away and just go with that. I know other people know other terms that they've grown up with or more familiar with, but impact investing is wonderful terminology for what you're doing and what you're helping advisors do. Yeah.
And Sonia, we're going to make sure that we have links to your website and some of the specific pages on your website too. Now, so you went through some terminology there. Let's break down this in a little different way. I'm a kind of person who loves to learn through stories to illustrate points and ideas in really what you were just talking about. Would you mind walking us through a couple of stories of how this impact investing either impacted practices or how we can look at impact investing overall?
Yeah, sure. And before I get any further, after we've done the definitions and we start to get into the marketing, I just want to back up one step and say, you can't market this without being able to go and execute this. So this has to already be an integral part of your practice. If you're going to talk to clients about impact investing and share the great stories of what good they can, their money can do while also getting market rate returns, mm-hmm. you have to be able to back it up and then go invest the money accordingly.
Sure. Good.
So,
We call that be your brand around here.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
It's critical to having a brand in the first place because who you are actually becomes your brand, not just your tagline and your logo and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you're going to get referrals, it's because you're actually delivered on the brand you promised.
Right.
And we're going to talk about more about that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. So in terms of stories, one of the things that I tell RIAs and advisors to do in marketing their practices with impact investing is to tell the stories of the good work that the client's money is doing. And connecting the story between the, you know, the good, the positive choices in that a particular company is making with either reducing risk or increasing returns. And so a good one, I was just talking with a friend in the business yesterday about some work that she did with Home Depot. So they had Home Depot in their portfolio when all of the news came out about the pesticide called neonics and its negative effect on the bee population. And as you may know, that's been a big story.
Mm-hmm.
And so this company went to Home Depot and engaged with their management and said, you know, neonics is something that is very harmful to the environment and to bees, which we need. And it's found on most of your garden plants and house plants. Also, it's in many of the products that they sell in the herbicides. And Home Depot was totally open to discussing this and going about disclosing it, which is a good first step. So they did a lot of disclosure around it. And then when the EPA came out with their conclusion that, yes, in fact, neonics is bad for bees, bad for the environment, Home Depot was a step above, or rather a step in front of its competitors in terms of it had already done all the research, knew where this was on their shelves, and was able to disclose or take it off the shelves. And so they really had a competitive advantage there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Another good story is Estee Lauder, which has been doing quite well recently, has just a very high percentage of women on their board and senior management. I'm sure your audience being in financial services knows that women are often not represented equally or even close to equally in the C-suite, senior management, and boards. But when they are, and when there's a diverse range of perspectives, both in terms of having men and women on the board, people from different backgrounds, different races and ethnicities, different maybe customer segments, the more variety of opinions you get in the room, the better business decisions you tend to make. So you can see that really playing out with Estee Lauder, whose returns have been quite nice lately. Hmm. So that's a couple of examples to start. There's more, of course.
Sure. Well, if you don't mind, my old boss, a guy named Ron Carson, who runs Carson Wealth Management Group and a whole bunch of other companies, was sitting with a client and they had a tobacco company in the portfolio. So this was many, many, many years ago. And the woman had said, oh, my God, I can't believe that that's in my portfolio. And his response after they had a discussion was, I'm going to immediately get that out of the portfolio. And it was a really nice eye-opening thing for him, because since he took action, right, Tony, which is what we're going to be talking about a little bit here, with how to market this and use this to engage clients, but he reacted in a way that was beneficial, and he listened to her, and she became a huge referral source. Huge referral source, because it took investing from the head out of the head in into the heart, and he communicated that very effectively. So let's break that down. How do we leverage impact investing with clients?
Yeah, and that's a really great point. I mean, I had given you a couple of stories of what impact investing is doing, but the way to leverage it with clients is that you're really making a deeper personal connection with both prospects and then clients. And so with connecting with prospects, impact investing can really be a differentiator in your practice. You're doing something different than your peers if you're able to connect with people about their values. Because one of the things that happens in the impact investing process is you talk to your clients about what's important to you. Mm-hmm. How do you want your money invested? Do you want it invested in, you know, companies that have a greater representation of women on the board? Or do you want companies that are forward thinking about the environment? And often clients are very passionate about this and didn't realize they could do this mm-hmm. with their money. And as you saw with your old boss, once you've got a client who has seen that they can do that, they are going to be a great referral source for you.
Well, I love the opportunities that you're talking about here, because anything that can make you, and Kirk and I talk about this often, anything that can make you fundamentally unique and different within a crowded marketplace, that's when you rise above the noise. And you're talking right here from a prospecting perspective and a branding perspective, a great opportunity to step up and step away from the norm and really stand out. So let's talk about that. Who might you use this with from a prospecting perspective?
Sure. Well, if this is what you do, you use it with all of your prospects. But if you, obviously, you know, you're going to talk to, you know, anybody who comes to you about what you do, you're going to have the conversation about aligning your investments with your values. But in terms of going out and prospecting, there's some certain groups that might be more ready to hear the message where it resonates really well. Religious groups is one of them. And there's actually quite a few values-based funds and money managers that cater to religious groups. They really want, you know, they have strongly held values and they want their funds to reflect those values. Nonprofits, foundations, women, and younger clients, millennials. And there's so much talk about millennials now, but one of the interesting things is that it's almost like that in the generational shift, there's just been a different way of thinking about the capital markets and investments and doing business. And there's not this dichotomy between doing business and doing the right thing by employees and the planet. And you can do business while taking care of people and planet. And that's become a more common way of thinking. So as younger generations go to work, that's something that they've been thinking about. And once they have enough money to start investing, it's not really a choice for them. This is just how they're living their lives. And so it's a very natural fit.
Most advisors are really looking at ways to engage the millennial population, right? They're seemingly, yes. And I hear this all the time, not just from a marketing, but from a practice management standpoint. Matt, I don't get it. I don't seem to think like they do. And this is a great entry point so that you can begin a meaningful conversation with millennials. And I like all of the ones that you just said, religious groups, nonprofits, and women. It's a different connection point. It's that differentiator that truly does make you unique and different. So we can use this from a prospecting perspective. But how do you use this? Talk about maybe a little bit more about the process that you use to create enduring relationships with clients.
Yeah. So once you've talked I mean, it almost starts at the prospecting point. You've got people, you've talked to a few, say, seminars, and you've got a couple people now who've come into your office because of either your advertising or your marketing or seminars, and they're in your office and you have the conversation about what's important to you, what are your values, and how can we align your investments with those values so that you feel good about the companies that you're investing in. And I mean, that's the start of it, right? And it really helps you to have a conversation about more than just money. You have a deeper connection with clients. And also, as they talk about their values, you get to know them. Maybe they're the health of the future health of the planet is really important to them because of their, you know, they want to have a great place for their grandchildren mm-hmm. to grow up. Mm-hmm. And so you know this one new piece about them. Or maybe animal welfare is really important to them, or women on boards, or, you know, a whole host of issues. And with each piece, you learn something personal about clients. And this is not unique to the financial services business. Mm-hmm. When you know people better and you can have deeper, more personal relationships, the relationships are more enduring.
And there could be other openings for business opportunities. You just, you know, triggered a couple of things there, whether it's knowing more about their grandchildren and realizing that they might, being hyper simplistic here, maybe they don't have 529 plans, or maybe they don't have proper insurances in place. By having these deeper conversations, if your eyes are open not only to what's going on in your client's heart, but hopefully it will also open up some great avenues to increase your share of wallet with your existing clients, yeah. or offer them things that you didn't know were important to them because you're changing the conversation. And Sonia, that's what I love about this. You are truly changing the way that you as an advisor are interacting with your clients because it's a totally different conversation.
Right. And, you know, you also may find that you have more things in common with them, and yeah. people love that.
Yep.
And in my experience, people want to be able to have a more interesting and more personal conversation. They want to know that they're doing well financially. And that is, you know, as fiduciaries, that's our job. But the clients also want to meet and get to know their advisor and have a deeper relationship. And when you start connecting at the values level, you can really do that.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that this could open up a lot more doors. And like I had said with Ron Carson, my old boss, when he made this investment change with this very high net worth client, how it inspired a lot more referrals. Talk about that. So I know that you have experience with that. How does this inspire deeper referrals, better referrals, and more referrals?
Yeah. So one of the things that I suggest is, you know, once you've turned your prospect into a client, and you've had this conversation with them about how what's important to them, you've identified what their sort of key values and issues are, and you can keep an eye out for news, both investment related and non, and send them articles or information about interesting things that are happening, or possibly ways that they can help, depending on their type of portfolio. They might be able to use some of the shares they own in a company to do some engagement with corporate management. And so once clients have these stories, they're more likely to share them. Of course, you guys probably are better qualified to talk about this than I am, but asking for referrals is important, but you're really giving your clients the tools to make those referrals more naturally.
Yeah.
Things come up in conversation with their friends and family when they're talking about this really interesting thing they did, how they got to be involved in shareholder engagement, or how they know that their money is invested in a company that's really forward thinking about the environment, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm. So, Sonia, now that we have a better idea on how all of this can work within the practice and existing clients, how can we organically use this to market to new people? We talked about psychographics and demographics, but talk to me about internalization and making this really work for clients and prospects.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And like I mentioned before, you've got to be ready to actually do this, and you have to have done the research and the work so that you can talk knowledgeably with prospects and clients about it. But it helps always to be knowledgeable and sincere. I think your phrase is be your brand. And then when you're out talking to people using the stories, like I mentioned a couple of them before, I'm also working on a series of impact investing success stories. I haven't published them yet, but I'll be putting them out on my website soon. So that when I make this suggestion to people, they have a resource. And then following up and having some of those stories and some interesting points on your website so that both new people can see them, but also when your clients refer you business, they can point right to that portion of your website. Mm-hmm. Always use normal words. As we heard at the top, there's a lot of acronyms and industry jargon here. And when you're talking to clients, just lose it all. I mean, you can talk about broadly impact investing, but talk to people about their values and about the specific things that they are passionate about or that you are passionate about so that people know that this is something important to you as well. And then I think I mentioned this already, but once you've turned prospects into clients, continue to engage with them on the things that are important to them.
Yeah. What a great way to continue to nurture the relationship. I absolutely love that. So Kirk, let's break this down. What are your thoughts on all of this? How does your branding and marketing genius apply to all of this?
I'm guessing that a lot of advisors are going to struggle with how to get the message out there. So if they are interested in impact investing, like Sonia said, the most important thing is to be able to deliver on it. But once you get to that place, and not clearly Sonia, that's what she does, so you can call her for help there. Once you figure that out, you have to figure out if this is going to be, you know, should this or can this be your core message? So how do you decide that? So I think if an advisor is looking at people that they would consider their ideal client, the people they enjoy working with the most, you have the, you know, if it matters, the right AUM or right amount of investable assets, sorry. And they know that there's a lot of these people out there that they can access to these people, that should become their core message, or it could be their core message. They could consider it.
Yeah, and it certainly can be. And I want to just take a step back too and say, when we're talking about people who might be interested in this, it's I think something like 75% of people. So it's not some small demographic of hippie tree huggers.
It's not really a niche market,
ask. Yeah. Once you start asking your clients, they want to put their money where their values are.
Right. So sometimes you can create a niche in your business based on something you offer that other people don't, and it could apply to more people. It doesn't mean you don't want to identify, you know, groups or niches of people with demographics or psychographics that are also important to you. But, you know, you can certainly do that. If it's not something that you want to be core, because if somebody doesn't value impact investing, but you still are interested in working with them, then I would make it more like a supplemental or an add-on service where if you're interested, I also add this. And for people who are interested in that, that furthers your brand in you connecting with them. And if they're not interested, then they're not interested. You know, they're interested in obviously other things you do.
So I work with a lot of clients like that, a lot of RIAs that want to offer this in addition to what they've traditionally been doing, partly because there's quite a demand for it now, especially where I live.
Yeah, that's excellent. I think there's another really, really important element to this. And we've talked about inspiring referrals. And the truth is, the reason this will inspire more referrals is because it's conversational. Mm. It's really interesting and it's emotionally engaging.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people are moving towards this, hey, it's not about how much money I make. It's how much, so it's the difference I make, how much fun and how good I feel about myself doing it. And that's a movement that I see happen. I hear friends talking about, family members talking about it. It's Matt and I talk about it all the time. And so if you put this message out into the world and all the content that comes from it, and I'll explain that in a second, do you think, just think about how much more impactful, here I go again, social media will be if you're talking about things that other people want to talk about that are emotionally engaging. So you're going to be way better on social media if you can insert and or focus on this in your campaigns. Second is imagine how much more interesting your podcasts, and you guys all have to start thinking about doing podcasts, and posts, you're like your blog posts, just think about how much more interesting and relevant those can become. And now think about when you start putting all this content, this conversational message out there that's stirring, engaging, now all of a sudden you're way more likely to inspire referrals because people are talking about your stuff. Conversational stuff is what sells, builds trust, gets people moving towards trusting you and wanting to become a client, wanting to work with you. So there's all types of different content that can contribute to this. So there's the blog posts you're writing, there's podcasts, there's papers, stuff like that. There's fact sheets, things like, you know, just think how interesting, some of the stats that Sonia's pulled out are interesting, like, wow, 75% people, but there'll be stats about companies. So imagine, and I could see this being really, really interesting, is imagine there's research reports that advisors are pulling from companies who are probably going to start popping up. There's probably a bunch of them already, Sonia, that go out and look for the ESG, for instance, which was environmental,
social, and governance.
And those three things, imagine people producing reports on companies that are either adhering to those or going the other way. And imagine an advisor gets to share that kind of information socially. I mean, that has a huge impact on the conversations, how viral things are, emotional engage. That could be a huge content tool to trigger relationships, likes, conversations, shares, all those kinds of things. So I could see that being really...
Yeah, and there's a lot of content out there that folks in the industry have created already. So advisors don't need to reinvent the wheel here. They need to make it personal to them and it needs to be in their voice. But there's, you know, there's videos and articles and all kinds of things that companies that are doing this are willing to share so that advisors can use them in their business as well.
Yeah, I think this is a really great opportunity for advisors to curate other people's content and share it and be that, you know, content aggregator for their clients. I think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, and if they're willing to sort of react quickly, there's so many news articles that are sort of in line right now. And so if they want to chat about those on social media or in a quick reaction blog post, there's just so much content right now that's relevant.
I want to talk really quickly about a couple of clients that I've worked with over the last number of years who are doing this in a little bit different of way, but it still has to really massively do with social impact and how they're being this brand. So both of these advisors do socially responsible investing. And Sonia, I don't actually know if they even know about you at this point. So I'm really glad that we're bringing you on the podcast. I think it's going to bring a lot of awareness to what you do and how important this is and how your solution really fits with a lot of these advisors. Because I know a lot of them have been trying to do it on their own.
Yes.
Yeah, which is tough, right? I mean, they have a business to run and clients to see and all of that stuff. It's a great outsource. But two quick stories. Number one, one of my offices down in New Orleans, every month they do a Doing Good Day. And so they reach out to their clients and they do something socially responsible in the New Orleans community and they take pictures of it and, you know, clients are there and people are smiling and then they post those socially. And what they found is those are the ones that get the most shares, retweets, relikes, comments, because it shows the heart of the advisor. And there's one other one, a gentleman who breeds dogs for prison puppy reform programs. And so all he does, and what he does in his spare time outside of being a financial advisor, is he breeds these dogs and does the training up till I think they're about 3 or 6 months. And then he gives these dogs to all of the prisons around the area for prisoner rehab. And again, that is what people are sharing. So they are truly walking the walk. They're talking the talk. And when you become a client of theirs, they use socially be responsible investing stuff. So it's the full package. But I have talked to them from a practice management standpoint, Sonia, that they spend way too much time doing all of the research for making up, you know, to do impact investing. So it's super neat. I'm actually going to send the link to this to them directly. I'll tag them in it because this is such a great solution. And Kirk, I love how you broke this down. It is a conversation. It changes the dialogue. It changes the tripe that a lot of financial advisors are posting on their page about stock markets and blah, blah, blah. This is real stuff that your clients can connect with, prospects right. can connect and, with, and make you easier to refer.
I mean, that's what clients want to talk about anyway. So yeah. I used to run a firm that was not just focused on impact investing, although that's one of our markets was. And, you know, clients come to advisors because they don't want to do their own mm-hmm. financial, they don't want to make their own financial decisions and do all the research. And they're trusting the advisors to be the knowledgeable ones in this arena. And then we go and spend so much time talking to them about, you know, beta and alpha. And this is not what people want to talk about. That's why mm-hmm. they've outsourced it to the advisor, right? If people want to talk about their kids or their vacation or their goals for what they're going to spend their money on. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's a common thing that we do in the financial service industry is to talk so much about the details of what's important sort of behind the scenes in choosing portfolios, but it's not what clients want to talk about. It's what they want us to do for them behind the scenes, if that makes sense.
It does. And there is that golden nugget right there. We always try to look for those in podcasts, and I'm going to write exactly what you just said there down, and I'm going to quote you regularly because okay. I have been fighting that for 12 years. I know Kirk has been fighting it even longer because that is not, and a lot of people actually build that as part of their brand, all of the behind the scenes stuff. I want to know who you are because I'm going to do business with you because I connect with you because we have similar values, similar life experiences, and maybe even similar goals. And talking about impact investing, again, changes the conversation. So, Kirk, you got anything else you want to add at the end here?
I think this is one of those podcasts, and we've been having a lot of these lately, where we just bring somebody who's breaking trends and doing mm-hmm. new stuff and leading advisors down a better path. So I hope a lot of advisors take this to heart, consider how it impacts their practice, and you know, either reach out to Sonia, follow her, because you don't have to do anything right now, but start considering it. And you know, keep working on your practice. Keep working every day to get better. And this is an incredible example of how you can do that.
Well, thanks, Kirk. Well, and Matt, too.
Well, thank you very much, Sonia. Thank you for being on our podcast today. We will include whatever you want us to include for people to find out more information. You know, hey, I want to touch on something on your website that I thought was really super cool. If you go to her speaking tab, it shows all of the different events that she's speaking at. So maybe Sonia's speaking in an area very, very close to you. So please double check that. See where she's speaking. It seems like you speak often. And I can totally understand why. This is such a groundbreaking way to disrupt the industry, to change the conversation. So once again, this was episode 32, How to Leverage Impact Investing in Your Practice with Sonia Dreisler. Thanks and have a great day.